Let's turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. I'll read just two verses, Hebrews 13, verse 20 and 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, we've been going through the London Baptist Confession, and today we have arrived at chapter 16, and our subject is the subject of good works, of good works. And we're going to, as we looked at this proof text, this is one of the proof texts, Hebrews chapter 13, make you complete in every good work to do his will. And we see clearly that God is working in us. God is working in us to make us holy, and he desires us to grow in maturity so that we can do every good work. And these good works, they flow naturally. They flow organically from every true believer. Everyone that is truly born of God, there will flow from them good works. Imagine now you light a fire and the flames are burning and you go near the fire and there's no heat. It's impossible. From a fire flows naturally heat. You can feel it. And from a Christian flows naturally good works, which bring glory to the Father. So just as a fire burns, a Christian burns, his heart is ignited by God, and out of that heart flows forth good things. While good works never purchase salvation, it's impossible. Self-righteousness, you cannot go to heaven because of self-righteousness, but good works do have their function, and the function is they provide evidence of grace that is working in our hearts. And it's very clearly seen that good works don't save us in Ephesians 2 and verse 8 and 9. By grace you are saved through faith and not of yourselves. So no good works, nothing I can do can save me. Good works cannot save me. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But as we continue reading on, we read on to verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 2, and the scripture is very clear. We are his workmanship, created unto good works. We are his workmanship, created unto good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So God has prepared good works for us to walk, things that we can do. But not only that, God has equipped us to do those good works. He gives us the strength to do them. He opens our mind and our understanding and our wills, creates the desire to do them. And he opens our eyes to see the eternal value of doing them. And he grants us this tremendous desire, strong desire, not because we have to do them, but because they bring glory to my Father. We love him, and we want to be in step with him. We want to please him. We want to honor him. That's the motivation. Love is the motivation. It remains very clear, and I stress it again. It has nothing to do with earning salvation. Rather, it's an evidence of salvation. Now, the 16th chapter of the Baptist Confession, it's entitled Of Good Works. It's just a little bit of history. It's almost identical, and it mirrors the other major confessions. For example, the Westminster Confession, it's almost textually exactly the same. Very few changes. And it also mirrors the Savoy Declaration. Very little changes. And as we look back on what we have, the subjects that we have looked at, in chapter 10, we looked at effectual calling, that inward call to the heart, that outward call to the ear, as we hear the word of God. And then after effectual calling, read and looked at the scriptures pertaining justification, that our terrible guilt, that terrible weight of sin was removed and pardon was granted. And then we saw adoption. We are adopted into the family of God. We are children. We are made children of the Most High God. We are His children. He is our Father, Abba Father. And I am His very own child. I have His fatherly care. He watches over me. He protects me. He keeps me. And then we went on to sanctification, and we saw that it's progressive sanctification. You don't just receive it at salvation. You grow in grace. You grow in faith. You become mature in the Lord. And then we saw saving faith. We saw repentance. And all of those elements that we saw, they related to salvation and they related to sanctification. But today, we begin to deal with the fruits and the benefits of salvation. And one of the great benefits of salvation is that we are kept by God. We are kept in His hand. And it's called the perseverance of the saints. As we're going to see next week in chapter 17, if we are truly saved, we shall not fall out of grace. We shall be preserved in the faith. And then in chapter 18, we will also explore the assurance that we can have of the grace. So that's just a little overview of what we've been through and what we are going to move towards. That's a glimpse of what's coming next. But today, we're speaking about the fruits and the benefits of salvation, the importance of good works. And we see that according to the scripture, that good works are proper, that they are good, and that they are necessary fruit that is the result of those who have been saved by grace through faith. And we see this in scripture. You know, many people, including myself in the past, I would look at something like one of the old church confessions, and I would think that, oh, we don't need to worry about doctrine. We don't need to look at that. We just focus on the Word of God. But what these confessions, they are not saying anything other than they are bringing clarity and understanding of the Word of God, giving us a richer understanding. No, it's not the Word of God, but it's a wonderful teaching tool. It puts things line after line, helps us to understand the broad picture. So today, as we look at this scripture that backs up 100% what the confession is saying in Titus, the book of Titus, chapter 2, and verse 11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Zealous for good works. What does zealous mean? It's an old word. It means to desire eagerly, to vigorously stand up for something and defend something with an unwavering cause, with an unwavering conviction. We are exhorted not only to lovingly and eagerly pursue good works, which are acceptable to God, but this zeal, this fire should burn in us and blaze in us, that it enlightens and warms those all around us. They should see something in us that they want to emulate and do. And we are reminded in many other places in the scripture, in the book of James, that we show our faith by our works. We prove and provide evidence that our faith is real by good works. Faith is the root. Faith is the root that brings forth fruit, the fruit of good works. And these good works, they cannot be ignored. They are central to our Christianity. Now, in the first paragraph of the confession, it gives us a definition of what the Bible means by good works. And basically, a good work must be biblically defined and be in conformity to the revealed will of God. It must be that which God himself has commanded in his holy word. Or God's word alone defines what a good work is. So, for example, showing mercy to the poor, to the persecuted, is clearly a good work. It's seen in the scripture. What about denying ourselves and eating no meat on Fridays? Is that a good work? Well, every Catholic will tell you, yes, that is a good work. We must not eat meat on Fridays. But there's nothing in the Word of God to say that is a good work. It's not recognized by God as a good work. It doesn't mean anything to God because he never prescribed it. And there are so many things that people invent, trying to offer some service to God. But there's no instruction in God's word for them. And those that offer these kind of so-called man-made good works to God, they're not pleasing to God. They're not acceptable to God. And even worse still, they can be an offense to God because we're trying to earn something from God. So we turn away from unbiblical ideas of good works and we turn towards biblical ideas of good works. And a helpful scripture in this is Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. So we see that from God's word, we see what is good. We see what the Lord requires. Does the Lord require that we go on a pilgrimage to Israel to earn some points with him? No. Does the Lord, like Martin Luther, who climbed those famous stairs on his knees and on each step recited the Lord's Prayer? Does the Lord require that? No, not at all. What is required from you is that you would do justly and that you would live a just life, that you would do what is right, that you would love mercy, that you would be forgiving to those who do wrong against you, that you would walk humbly with God, that you would think highly of God, and that you would think little of yourself. These are good works. These are scriptural. And this is what truly good works are. A good work is not a fulfillment of an unbiblical ritual. It's not a fulfillment of something which is unbiblical, but it is simply acting justly, lovingly, and walking humbly with God. Another scripture, we read it in Hebrews 13, 21. Make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So, again, it's not a matter of performing various extra-biblical rituals, but it's simply living according to God's holy word. That's what He requires of us. Good works can never be measured by how zealous we are about them, how sincere we are about them. There's only one standard to measure if a work is good, and that is the Word of God. Is it biblical? Is it something that God requires? Every year in Philippines, there's a group of very sincere men. And what they do on Good Friday, they nail nails through their hands onto wooden crosses, thinking that they're doing something that's pleasing to God. But it's nothing more than the tradition of a man. And God is not pleased. They are zealous, but it's not biblical. There's no good in that. And the scripture that comes to mind is Matthew 15, verse 9, and in vain they worship me, teaching the doctrines and commandments of men. Or anything that's just dreamed up by men is of no value. It is vain. It is empty. Good works must spring from good conscience and faith. They must be done in sincerity of heart as an act of service to God. A person must not just do what God commands, but must do it because he recognizes that it is God's will and they desire to obey Him and they seek to obey Him. The unsaved person, the lost person, the sinner, he has a darkened mind, he has a conscience defiled. However zealous these unsaved people are, they are like the men in the Philippines. They are wrong because they are not doing it in conformity with Scripture. Let me give you an example, a very simple example. Let's say there's a lady that's got a shop selling vegetables, and she has got a set of scales, but she doesn't know the weights are all wrong. 1 kilo is only 700 grams and so forth. And they are wrong. But she's very diligent and she's very zealous. When a customer comes, she weighs everything very carefully. And she says, there is your 1 kilo of carrots. There is your 1 kilo of beans or whatever. So this person, they can be as diligent as they want to be. They can be as zealous as they want to be, but they can never be right because all the weights are wrong. And the one who is doing something which is not regulated, you see, the weights are wrong. They do not conform to the Bureau of Standards. There is a Bureau of Standards where they check if that 1 kilo is 1 kilo. And for the Christian, when he does good works, the standard is the living Word of God. If it is not based upon the Word of God, then it means nothing. You can be as zealous as you want to be, but it doesn't count. It's not a good work. It's still wrong because the standard is wrong. And we believe that everything that we do should be regulated by Scripture, should be in line with Scripture, should be conformed to Scripture. We live and move and have our being in Him. Those of us that are parents, we value Scripture in raising our children. We sometimes even look to what the Scriptures say about raising our children. And in our marriages, in our marriage relationships, we value the biblical principles pertaining our marriages. We value Scripture in the doctrine of sin and salvation. We would never try to say, well, I'm going to think of a new way that we can be saved. No, we look to what the Scripture says about salvation. And we know this, that He is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. And we would never think of any other way. And it's the same with good works. We value Scripture pertaining every good work that we do. Now, let's move on. Why are good works important? Well, simply because good works that are done in obedience to God's commands are fruits and evidences that we have a living faith. Anyone who confesses that they have in faith, that they have a faith in Christ, can prove the genuineness of their faith by the works that they engage in. Good works show gratitude. Gratitude of what God has done for us. Yes, I'll say it again, they never earn God's love. We do good works simply because God has shown His love to us. They strengthen our assurance. How would they do that? Well, maybe somebody is doubting. I wonder if I'm saved. I wonder if I'm really the Lord's. Well, when you see the fruit, godly fruit in your life, it should encourage you and say, I must be saved. The fruit is the fruit of a true Christian. This is godly fruit, and it gives you assurance of salvation, assurance that you are saved. When you see these fruits and good works in your life, and it shows the fact that your heart has been transformed. There's patience, there's kindness, there's love, there's mercy. Good works also, what else do they do? They edify fellow believers. They reflect godly character and give credibility and adorn the message that we preach to the unsaved. Good works adorn the gospel. Good works beautify the gospel. We all know the Scripture. The Scripture that says, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and what? Glorify your Father who is in heaven. So when I am preaching and I'm also involved in acts of mercy, acts of kindness, it edifies other people. It adds credibility to my message. The message. And then lastly, good works, well, in this category, lastly, good works stops the mouths of our critics. It silences our critics, shuts the mouths of our opponents. 1 Peter 2:15. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Oh, when men criticize us and say, oh, you this and that. Well, when they see the fruit, God's fruit in our lives, it silences them. And good works glorify the Father. Philippians 1 and verse 11. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness that are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, or you could say the fruits of good works, which come from Jesus Christ. We have this zeal to do good works because we are Christ's workmanship. We make this our goal in life because He's working in our hearts, because we want to give Him praise. So, dear friends, let us pursue, let us run after good works that we may enjoy the benefits more and more, that our very lives may be pleasing to the Father. We cannot please the Father and we cannot produce any fruit without the vital connection to Christ. Without Christ, nothing pleasing can be done for God. We know the Bible verse, abide in me and I in you. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, and neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. That's the Gospel of John 15, verse 4 and 5. So if we are going to be involved in good works, we have to have this vital connection to the vine. If we're going to let our lives shine before men, if we're going to be a partaker of His divine goodness, if we're going to shine wherever we go, if we're going to hold forth the word of life, that's how we shine. We hold forth the word of life. And what else would be a good work that we can do? What else would bring glory to God? Well, when we bring wisdom and we direct the ignorant, when we bring truth to them, when we speak God's word to them, when we make known the paths of life. And all of us who have experienced Christ should, in one way or another, be able to teach others. Show them these things. Show them these wonderful truths that have so transformed our lives. And what teaches more than those that provide a pattern that's worthy of following? When somebody says something, yes, it's the truth, but when somebody says something and lives that and provides a pattern of how that is lived and walked out, oh, that provides such a loud message, such a good message. What teaches more than providing a pattern worthy of following? And then one good work that all of us can be involved in. One good work that we can do any time of day, any time of night, is by our prayers and our supplications. That's a good work. And it's something that we can all do. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 1. Therefore, I exhort you, first of all, that supplications, prayers, and intercessions, and the giving of thanks be made for all men. Oh, pray for all men. Even pray for your enemies. And then number 5, good works can be done by showing mercy to the poor. Mercy to the poor. Hebrews 3:16, but do not forget to do good and to share. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Good works should be extended to all men, to those that are near us, to those that are far off, to foes, to friends. It doesn't matter what race they are from. It doesn't matter their status at all. Whenever we have opportunity, whenever we have a possibility, whenever God grants us the power to do, we should follow the example of our Savior, who went about doing good. Doing good. We should be people who go about doing good. And he left us this example, and he said, follow me. True disciples follow him. I'll give you another Bible verse, Titus chapter 3 and verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to all men. Good works doesn't just mean having an honest job. Good works is not just running your business properly with integrity. Though those things are very important, they should be done well. Good works includes every kind of responsibility we have. It covers our whole life, moral, social, and spiritual. To maintain good works means we do them well. It means we lead by example. It means we inspire others to love and to do good too. You see, that's what we are supposed to do, inspire others to do good as well. And these good works should be a regular part of all who believe in Christ Jesus. All of those who are saved have the responsibility to do good works. And the love of Christ is what motivates us. Only believers can truly do good works, because they have been made holy and because God has prepared them for this service. They are created in Christ to live this way. They have the Spirit. They have His strength, which is necessary to do them. They also have faith in Christ. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And good works, works of obedience, are good works. So the Christian, when he sees something in the Word of God and does it, that's counted as a good work. What we do because God bids it, because God asks of it in His Word, because we do it because of love for Jesus Christ, we do it because of desire for His glory, these are good works. I'll give you one more. Everyday actions, like your work, like helping others, like caring for your family, they become good works when they are done well, not to earn favor, but out of thankfulness for God. Good works are done out of thankfulness and gratitude to God. Now, as I begin to draw to a close, to talk of good works before the new birth is to forget the divine order and put the last first. Talking of Christian duties to those that are unsaved doesn't make sense. A non-Christian doesn't see the value of good works. To produce living works, you must have living faith. To do loving works, you must have loving faith. And when you truly know and trust God, that's when you can begin to act with wisdom and confidence, doing what pleases Him. Sadly, that this practice of being careful to maintain good works is neglected so much today. But it should never be the case. A believer who is a branch connected to the vine should always produce fruit. Friends, if our lives have no fruit, if our lives have no blossom, if our lives have no leaves even, if our lives are just a dry stick, something is wrong. We need that intimate connection with the vine, and we will produce good fruit. There must be a connection. The fact is, we cannot do anything without that vital union with God. I close with this exhortation. If you're not saved, if you are an unconverted hearer of this message, there's only one work that you must do. No other is important. And that one work is this: believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the work. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. We see that in John 6:29. Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him who He sent." Oh friend, have you believed? Have you believed? Have your sins been blotted out? Have you been grafted into the vine? Have you come into the kingdom through the only door, Jesus Christ? I close by quoting the verse for every unconverted one. Jesus answered, and He said to them, "This is the work that you must do today, that you believe in Him whom He sent." Oh, believe the gospel, repent of your sins, and you shall be saved. Amen and amen.